My lullabot boys with lullabot toys, I know you're not another fool. That's why I wrote this rap, and I'm kicking it old school. Sorry. That worked a lot better in my head. Sorry about that. This is Alan Hauser with Creative Expert, and I just wanted to give a shout-out. Now start the show and erase this.
For Monday, July 10th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Awesome.
Very,
I just lost my job.
Very professional. So, you know, gotta give everybody a chance. So, it's back. We're back. From what did we take, like, 2 weeks off? I say we, but it was really me. I, you know, without initiation, there is no follow-up or something. But we're back. I went to San Francisco, had an exciting trip, Drupal-based trip to San Francisco. We can talk a little bit about that. But we're back with the Lullabot podcast this
Posse.
Week. This week featuring the newest Lullabot, the Lullabot et, Angie Byron. Welcome,
hello.
Angie.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, it's lovely to have you as a part of our team and as a part of our podcast. Also on the podcast, as usual, we've got
Matt Westgate
and
Ted Servinsky.
Yes, Team Lullabot, once again, talking about Drupal. We don't know why. And as usual, if you've got questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, complaints, nitpicks,
rap songs.
Rap songs.
We've had rap songs now.
Yes, yes. We played that at the beginning there. That's Alan from Creative Expert was drinking, apparently. you too can call in and we'll put you on. 877 Lullabot is the number. That's plus 1-877-585-5226. You can call that on your phone at home, on your mobile phone. You can call it through Skype, which is free right now. Skype out is free. You can call it through Gizmo or any of those VoIP services, and you know, we would love to hear from you and love to answer your questions on the podcast, because that's what we do. Well, what do you guys want to talk about? We I think this week we were going to kind of run through some modules, talk about sort of what we find to be the essential modules that we tend to use, and what are exciting modules, and point people towards some stuff to try out. But first, let's talk a little bit about other stuff.
About your trip to San Francisco.
Okay. I guess I could keep talking. I went to San Francisco. Dries and I took a trip out to San Francisco. Dries mentioned it on his blog a little bit, and I'll mention it a little bit more here post-trip. We met with some sort of big-name people in the open source community to talk about Drupal and sort of the growth curve and where we're headed, and let them know what we're doing, and also to find out a bunch of information from them, because there's been talk about starting a Drupal foundation, or, you know, just there's various options out there. And so we went out and we met with Tim O'Reilly, and he was really helpful, had a lot of ideas for us, and connected us with a lot of the people that we met out there. We also met with Chris DeBona at Google, who was fabulous. Chris is kind of heads up the Summer of Code project, right? Is that right, Angie?
Yep.
He's the guy behind that.
He's like Mr. Open Source at Google there.
Yeah, yeah. We met with a bunch of people at Yahoo that are using Drupal internally. Apparently, they like run the entire Yahoo help system, kind of gets published out from, it doesn't actually, I think on the live site, it's not in Drupal, but internally they like, you know, write it all in using Drupal and sort of go through their workflow in Drupal and then publish it out to their live site, from Drupal. That was kind of neat. We met with Guido Van Rossum, who's the leader of the Python project. That was really interesting, for Dries to get to connect with someone else who, is leading an open source project. I mean, you know, and sort of the different ups and downs of that and how Drupal is similar and different from other open source projects. We also met with Mitch Kapoor. Mitch started Lotus, 123. He's the Lotus 123 man, made $1 billion and, now runs the Open Source Application Foundation and is the, chairman of the Mozilla Foundation and just a good guy, in the open source world. Mitch was really, everyone we met had really great ideas. Who else we met? We met, Larry Augustine, who started VA Linux, which was sort of the first open source based company to kind of have a big IPO and, sort of make a, make, you know, a financial model off of, open source. Also, other interesting information. So it was really a lot to digest. I mean, basically, it was, you know, sort of a fact-finding mission to kind of connect Dries with these people, and that happened. So it was good stuff, and I think we'll sort of slowly see some things come out of it as Drupal is on these people's radar, and also now those people are on our radar, and sort of as the relationships build and stuff like that, especially with the possible emergence of a Drupal Foundation and some sort of a financial model for Drupal in general. Right now, there's not really any good way, if you wanted to give money to Drupal, there's not really a good way to do that. And hopefully within the next few months, there will be. And then that money can go to fund things like improving the general infrastructure and improving Drupal.org and maybe even eventually to paying a salary to some people to work on Drupal or doing things like giving grants for Drupal-based projects and stuff like that. So we also had a Drupal meetup out in San Francisco. That was really interesting to meet some of the people who are using Drupal out there. I met a guy named Brian Sugar, who runs a website called Team Sugar. That's a Drupal-based website that's doing like huge traffic. He said they're getting something like 4 comments a second on that site, and they just love Drupal. So I want to get him on the podcast to talk about sort of their process of choosing Drupal and how Drupal's working for them, and obviously on a high traffic site like that, how it's working out. And also we got a chance to kind of hang out with Kieran Lal and Neil Drum and some of the other people who are working out of the co-working space, which is sort of a Drupal orbiting space where Neil, who works for Advomatic, Kieran runs Civic Space. Who else is out of there? Chris Messina has a new company now, and he's out of there. We had a sort of a get together and kind of talked about some of the sort of directional stuff with Drupal trying to get Civic Space has been working on a an installer to install Drupal, kind of click, 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 and get it installed. So it was good for Dries and Kieran to kind of sit down and figure out what are the pieces of that need to get in place in order to get that in core, and that'll be great. Earl Miles came by for that, and good stuff. So it was really a great trip, and you know, I wish I had some like concrete, like this is happening kind of things, but it was really more just kind of getting the seeds started of kind of connections and stuff like that. So good stuff. What else? We should talk about Angie, and we should talk about Angie's stuff. Cause Angie, you came to Drupal right through the Summer of Code last year. What was your project and kind of how did all that come?
Okay, well, yes, I came to Drupal through Summer of Code. I originally heard of Drupal from the Spread Firefox website, which was running Civic Space, and kind of looked into it, and, oh, that's cool, Drupal, and neat. And then later, when I saw their name in the list, I was like, oh, I'll apply there. What I was assigned to work on was the quiz module, which, if you look at it now, is hideous, and don't look at it.
Well, everyone needs to learn somehow.
Yeah. Well, something. It was kind of a weird situation because the module, because it was so big, got assigned to two students. And because of Google's rules, we had to kind of split it up. So there's like the back end and the front end. And I got my back end stuff done, and the front end student kind of got overwhelmed with other obligations and sort of didn't get a chance to work on his part.
Right.
So I've tried to kind of in the meantime pick away at it, but it's kind of slow going, but it's still on my master getting things done list to go and at full force at some point and get that done, because it's the architecture of it's really cool. It's a very pluggable interface to plug in different question types, and it separates the taking from the back end so that you could potentially develop, say, a Flash front end for the quiz and run it through Drupal and stuff. It was designed by Robert Douglas, who's done a lot of work with a lot of thinking in the area of education and Drupal and that kind of thing.
Cool.
So, yep. And then I was working with Civic Space then after, I was working as a contractor independently for a few months, and then Kieran hired me on at Civic Space, where I did a lot of work with kind of Drupal and community building. So made a bunch of improvements and bug fixes to, say, Organic Groups module, kind of put together a social networking distribution of Drupal called GoJoinGo, which kind of was a whole process trying to get that in going. The 4.7 version, which I did right before I left, uses a lot of the pre-existing modules in the community, which will be great because it'll kind of have an exponential development thing, so when someone makes an improvement to Buddy List, we can incorporate that, and we can, you know, put stuff back into the community as we build out the GoJoinGo platform. I say we, when Civic Space does that. But anyway, and then the other couple things I worked on was just some, you know, I'm big on documentation, trying to make Drupal easier to learn for new people, especially developers. So I did the form API reference, for example, that big monster table of all the, you know, properties and, you know, what they are for and example things and stuff. And so did that. I've done a few kind of tutorial type of things on how to do CVS, how to do, how to get your own API site running. So, you know, if api.drupal.org ever goes down, which it did when I was in the middle of Summer of Code and I was freaking out because I needed it. So anyway, so just stuff like that. And I also did some work on the installer, which we're trying to get into core now. And that's one of Dries's top six things he'd like to get in core before the code freeze.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just some other miscellaneous stuff that I worked on there. But yeah, had
and you're,
fun. And,
you're like, you know, a living example of the occupational wildfire that is Drupal.
Yeah, because I was a community college grad a year ago, and now I'm working with Lullabots.
You're a highly sought-after Drupal genius. Well,
no,
right. I mean, but like you know, learned about, I mean, you didn't even really know, you hadn't done Drupal before.
No, I never touched Drupal
stuff.
Before Summer Code. I had done PHP, but just
right.
Kind of, you know how you do PHP and you know.
Yeah.
You're not
well,
really
I mean, I, there's just a huge, you know, there's a huge call for Drupal talent out there. And I think, you know, we keep saying that on this podcast. It's like, learn Drupal and then get out there in the community and let people know that you're available.
No, it's true. And the other thing that's great about Drupal, the Drupal community is they're, well, for one thing, they're smart. Like, I learn something new every single day, like, just the brilliant minds that are involved. And they're also very, very welcoming. If you're into Drupal to try and contribute to the project, they'll go just out of their way to help you out and get you started and stuff. So, you know, that's it's everything I ever wanted to do was, you know, work on an open source project and somehow pay the bills. So, hey, I'm here. So right. I'm doing it.
And for those of you who are, I mean, there's always this sort of disconnect between the people's online personalities and their. So Angie is known as Web Chick, and you've probably seen her around on Drupal.org if you've spent any time there. She's become omnipresent in the past year. But yeah, this is Angie equals Web Chick. And I was also thinking, like, why is it that we spend all this time on the podcast trying to pronounce people's names, especially when they're not, you know, Anglo-American names, because you end up like reading them all the time, but you never even attempt to say them because they only exist on your screen. And then when you get on the podcast, it's like, oh, I need to figure out how to pronounce this.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. So what else I got on my list here? We've got a list of all the exciting things we should talk about in this podcast. We had before San Francisco and the San Francisco meetup, we had a Boston Drupal meetup where Leo Bird, who's from the MIT Media Lab, came by and talked about how he's integrating Asterisk with Drupal, which was really fascinating. Like, he has it basically set up that you can call in to an Asterisk server, which is a VoIP server kind of thing, you know, call in with a telephone, and through a series of prompts and voice stuff, you can create Drupal nodes, like audio Drupal nodes, that like people can go to the website and play back this stuff. It's really fascinating. Like, it was also really interesting to see how Drupal's sort of abstraction of the different layers and stuff kind of comes into play with this, that like Drupal tries to not assume that a content item is, for instance, text. And so it was interesting to see the things that made that easy in Drupal and things that made that difficult in Drupal for him to sort of have this like alternate non-web-based interface for Drupal. So, and the Boston Drupal meetups have just gone great. Moshe Weitzman's been organizing them. He's doing a great job and stuff like that. So what else do we have for news?
Speaking of meetups, there's the upcoming DC meetup. It's July 26th at 7 p.m. We didn't meet last month, so this month we actually have free beer. Development Seed is buying the first round of beers.
So wait a sec. So because you didn't meet last month, this month there's free beer? Is that how
yeah,
it works?
Basically.
Well, we'll have to remember to have the Boston meetups only every other month.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Development Seed said they're going to buy the first round of beers, and they're going to talk about location module and like some cool things they're doing, such as like having multiple locations per node. So they're doing a lot of cool work, so they want to show that off. So we'll be meeting at Busboys and Poets on U Street. More information on the the Drupal group. So if you want to come, please sign up and see you there.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm in Montreal. We're also having a meetup of sorts, CHX or Caroli, I think I'm pronouncing that right.
You have to listen to the podcast. To hear
I know. I did, and I still don't know how to pronounce it.
Yes,
so. But yeah, he's coming to visit for a few days at the end of July. So on Friday night, which date is that? The 28th, and then all day Saturday, the 29th, Kumbit and myself are going to try and organize some kind of a get together for developers, just to do some core hacking and you know, maybe some bug fixes or whatever. You know, it's just kind of a way for developers to hang out and get some stuff done kind of informally like we did in Vancouver, which was really productive and a lot of fun. So if you're in the general vicinity of that and would like to come, there's also a post on the front page of Drupal.org at the moment where you can go to sign up for that as well.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about driving up for that.
That would be awesome.
I got to figure that out. But Boston's only about 6 hours from Montreal, so get to drive up and practice my French.
And I'm in Iowa, and I'm having a Drupal meetup with my sock puppets. tonight at my house.
How many people
maybe
are in the...
go out for dinner?
You actually start, or was it you or John that started an Iowa Drupal group on groups.drupal.org?
There's I think I started that.
And how many people are in it now? Three?
Three?
Yeah.
Yay!
So it's casual. I mean, you can have a meetup like, you know.
No, you can.
You go out for pizza and realize like, hey, we're having a Drupal meetup. Because, you know, it's just three of you.
Yep. Just Iowa.
Delicious corn.
Please don't take this as a dig on Iowa. I really don't mean it that way. It's just,
actually, truth be told, John Van Dyke and myself, we get together once a week to talk about all things Drupal. We go out to lunch, and we usually meet at the cafe. So if there's people out there that are interested in hooking up with us, you know, send me an email or give me a buzz, and we'll get together.
There you go. Or you can sign up for the Iowa group on groups.drupal.org, where also the Boston group lives and the DC group and Montreal. You have one there?
Yep.
Montreal? Yeah. There's all kinds of special interest groups there for all kinds of crazy things. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out. Good place to gather some people and, I don't know, make picket signs or something. what else? Oh, training. Lullabot training in D.C. coming up quick.
Yeah.
When?
It's great. August 7th through the 10th.
August 7th through the 10th.
Two workshops.
Drupal 101 and Drupal theming. We've talked about them more extensively on other podcasts. I'll just touch on them here. Drupal 101 is, you know, 101. And Drupal theming is, you know, theming. There's more information about that on the lullabot.com/training webpage.
And we're all going to be there.
We're all going to be there. We're going to teach
Angie and Ted and
all kinds of interesting things about Drupal. We're going to, as I say, crack open some of the exciting sites that we've been working on recently. MTV, UK. Will be very exciting, I think, based on how that's progressing, especially from a theming standpoint. Twit, This Week in Tech, Leo Laporte's exciting podcast and website, also is cool. Those both should be launching definitely before the workshops in August, and so we'll be able to look at them and talk about them and all that kind of stuff. So,
lots of really useful diagrams, charts, how overviews of how the theme system works, and big old 8-page database diagrams that we've made of mapping out Drupal.
Sexy,
that's what I do in my spare time.
Folks. Well, Matt, you should mention that you're writing a book, right?
Yeah. We're John Van Dyke and myself are writing a pro developer's guide to Drupal, and oh my gosh, is it ambitious! I think we have 13 chapters now. Everything from chapter one, which is how to build a module, how to get yourself up and running, to vast overviews of how the theme system works, how the menu system works, how to do XML RPC calls in Drupal. And our focus of the book is to make it more about code examples and more about diagrams, so that you can just look at those pictures and code snippets and go, ah, I get it, rather than having to read a bunch of text. You know, the text is there if you want to really get into the nitty-gritty, but otherwise you can just look at the examples and sort of, you know, have it click with you and know where to go for further resources and stuff. But really, really excited about that book.
So this is going to be the super technical Drupal book that kind of gets into everything, all the nitty gritty. And I mean, you were talking about some of the stuff that you're putting together for it. It's really cool, like just to be able to see the entire database schema and stuff like that. I know is stuff that people have been asking for, you know, because especially people who might be very technical, already be familiar with other content management systems or have written their own or something like that, to be able to sit down and kind of glean it quickly, like what Drupal's doing, what it's storing where and how and stuff like that. It's really good stuff. So
yeah. We even have a whole chapter dedicated to how to contribute back to the community and where to go for more information, like sort of how the Drupal open source community works, because like Angie was saying previously, it's a really vibrant community where people, you know, once you show your willingness to learn and start committing back, it's just sort of the floodgates open with people that you meet and you know, everybody's helping each other to get off the ground. And so just trying to help people out, you know, learn how to get that rapport and dialogue going with the community.
Yep. And that's, you connect in with the community and then everyone says, oh, do you have a job? Do you want a job?
Do you need money?
Exactly. I give you money. I have money for, I have a long list of things I need and I have money for. Yeah, I mean, the community thing, to go off on a tangent here, I think the thing that I took away from our trip to San Francisco was that I think that Drupal differs from a lot of the other open source projects because there is this whole community. And I kept expecting to see that in other projects. And although there might be a community of sorts, it's sort of like a community of the 17 developers who work on this, you know, or it's, it doesn't seem to be sort of as far reaching as Drupal is and, kind of open, as Drupal is. One point 5 months to code freeze, right?
That's right. September.
Actually,
1st.
It's like 1.678.
Really?
Because we got like 20 days left.
And how long is it till the release of 4.8, Ted?
That's 2.8.
It's 2.8 months.
Factor of 1.2. I'm just making up numbers, folks. I don't know.
So I guess I don't know, Angie. You brought this up when we were putting together our list of things to talk about. You want to talk about this a little more?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of times people are kind of, you know, when they're, hey, I'm sick and tired of work and I want to do something fun for Drupal, what should I work on, that kind of thing. Dries actually posted his kind of top 6 things that he'd really like to see get into core this release cycle. And it's important to kind of start on them now, even though, 1.5 months, or 1.67 months, you know. I got all kinds of time, but the thing is, like, they're all fairly large, and the last thing you want, as we found out from the 4.7 release cycle, is a huge patch getting committed right before the code freeze.
Right.
Let alone 6 huge patches. So if you have free time and you're looking for somewhere to help out, or even if you don't and you feel strongly about getting this stuff in, this is a great place to help out. But anyway, so the top 6 are getting a simplified CCK into core. So that's going to be...
Do you know?
That's like where you get. That's basically to allow you to create your own custom content types right from Drupal without right. having to have the CCK module installed.
Right. So you can create your own content types, but they're basically unlike CCK, which defines all the bazillion different fields that you might want in there. It's just a simple sort of a story style node type, but right. you can create more of them so that you could use them in different ways and.
And then you can use CCK to add the additional field types that you want. So
right.
if you're interested in that one, the address is drupal.org/node/62340. Second one is cleaning up the settings page. Basically, a lot of people find it confusing that when you go to admin settings, it takes you to a page. And a lot of people, I guess, don't realize that there are sub-navigation underneath settings to get to specific module settings.
Right.
So Dries has cooked up a patch to kind of put this all on one page, and it's sort of like a step one of cleaning up the whole administration page. If you're interested in that one, that's at drupal.org/node/72284. Then the third one he listed was reorganize the administration pages. So this is Earl Miles or Merlin of Chaos's patch to kind of give it a bit more of a user-friendly sort of feel, kind of like a WordPress or you know, that kind of thing. So sort of to organize that a bit better and things like that. That one's at, same thing, drupal.org/node/72079. The other thing that is going on kind of in the background on the Bright SVN server is there's this huge push to make all of the theming stuff file-driven, as opposed to right now you have to kind of, if you want to override the way, say, the user profile page looks, you have to search for the theme function that's causing that to look the way it is. Copy and paste it into your template file, change the name of it, and then start messing with it and doing what you need. They're trying to basically move everything to a file system so that if you want to change the way something feels, you just copy a file and then start editing it straight away. So you don't have to do all this kind of hunting around for stuff. And that's coming along, apparently. I'm not too up to speed on what's going on there.
Actually, chime in there. I was talking to Adrian because I'm really, really interested in that patch. And right now the problem with the patch is, I mean, it works, but it's slower. It's 6 to 10% slower.
Mm.
So Drupal's slower by itself. So now it's like, uh-oh, how do we speed it up? Otherwise, this patch will never go in. Or it lowers the chances significantly. So that patch is kind of like trying to figure out how to make that better, perform better.
If you're interested in that, is Adrian the person to talk to?
Yeah, Adrian and Vlado are both working on it. I think Vlado's been doing more of the work, but Adrian's been working on it as well. So send them an IM or something.
And what do we have? Adrian, at least, is Vlado a lot in the IRC room a lot?
Yeah, he's Dikini, I think, D-I-K-I-N-I. And Adrian is Vertice, V-E-R-T-I-C-E.
And that's in Pound Drupal.
Correct.
On Freenode, for you IRC people out there.
Woohoo!
Find an IRC client. Just keep clicking around until you manage to get in the room. Bookmark it. That's what I did. I don't quite understand IRC, but I can get in there. So, and then the new core theme.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this, but he wants a new core theme, like something nice and purdy.
This is where this is where Ted and I get red-faced. Yes.
I think part of the problem is we have the design, but it's with all these theming patches, it could be obsolete, and then who knows? So,
well, also, honestly, we're really
busy
trying to get a couple of sites out the door right now. But I think probably in a week and a half or 2 weeks, we'll kind of sink our teeth in and try and get that core theme together. So,
yeah,
that should be really cool. So, basically, the out of the box Drupal experience will be a little bit prettier and probably less blue. I can't make any promises, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'd be nice too, because that's one way to help attract more designers to the project, is if the product looks really nice out of the box, then people are going to be like, ooh, yeah. Some people are impressed by the flashy pretties. So.
Yes. I am. I'm always in flashy pretties.
And then the last one in the list is the big one, the install system. This is one I'm going to really push to try and get involved with in my spare time, because this does a couple of things. For one thing, it's an installer. Hey, you can click little buttons and it will do the database thing for you, so you don't have to look up obscure MySQL commands in order to import the table structure and stuff like that. But the other thing it does is there's a lot here. For instance, it allows us to create installation profiles. So people could, if you say as a Drupal consultant, you tend to set up a lot of, say, blog sites and stuff. You can create your own distribution of Drupal almost, where you set up a profile and you say, I want these modules installed and this theme and this, and set these variables to here, and then package that up so that you save yourself hours and hours of clicking little things, you know, that you would normally do to, say, enter a site name and all this kind of stuff. So that's a hugely powerful part of this. It would also give us flexibility to start pulling modules out of core. You know, people have talked about pull module, for instance, being something that would get more love as a contrib module. And a lot of other modules that, you know, are kind of seen as being non-essential, but they're in core, and what are we going to do with them?
This would
allow us flexibility to start yanking that stuff out in order to make core really kind of fine-grained and focused. And then people could create distributions for everything that they want, you know, communities or blog or a political action platform or whatever. So Yep. That's my spiel about the installer.
It's good
stuff. And that one's at node 68926.
68926. The installer. Good stuff. Wow, we got a long list of stuff to talk about here. I hope we get to the modules. jQuery. There's been some talk in the sort of Ajax group, and there was a IRC online conference kind of thing. And basically, it looks like jQuery is going to be kind of take over the Ajax functions for Drupal. There had long been sort of a debate about whether we should use an external JavaScript library or whether we should sort of roll our own. And Drupal has a tendency to roll its own for most things. But I feel really strongly about using external library with particularly when it comes to JavaScript and Ajax stuff, because there's so much of that that needs to be debugged on the client side, and it's also just sort of exciting development-wise, tends to happen really quickly, and some really neat things. And so by using someone else's library, we can kind of benefit from that. And so John Resig, R-E-S-I-G, Resig, is the guy behind jQuery. You can find jQuery at jQuery.com. And John has been really interested and instrumental in helping the process of getting that into Drupal core. And Stephen Wittens is working on it pretty heavily, and some other people too, whose names are not immediately coming to me, but I'm sure if I spend a minute, I could figure them out. So jQuery looks like it's going to be the thing. It's a nice, really light, really efficient Ajax library. So should be some cool stuff. I actually already rewrote a couple of my modules that I'd written previously for Scriptaculous and Prototype. The Spajax module I rewrote using jQuery. So hopefully if and when that gets into core, I'll put out those modules and we'll have some spiffy new menus and things like that that use the jQuery stuff. Let's talk about new modules. There's been some new modules. I always mean to like talk about, like sort of run through, hey, new modules. We've got new modules out in Drupal, and we never really quite do that. And so I figured we could do that now, especially with all the excitement about the new, what is it called, Fetch Gals module? What is it? It's like a porno aggregator or something like that. It goes, like, aggregates the, I don't know, porn thumbnail previews from porn sites or something like that. People are all excited and up in arms about, I mean, this is all the stuff that, it's just part of the growing process of any project that, you know, it's going to be all kinds of modules that are going to come out. Nah, it's not illegal. It's all good. It's fine.
Welcome to the land of open source.
Exactly. Yeah. It's open. It's free. You know, Wild West. And yeah, there's the Fetch Gals module. Check it out. Free porn or something. I haven't actually tested it out. But
sure, you haven't.
and if I had, I wouldn't. I'll test it out sooner or later. But I won't tell you all about it. What else? There's some of the CCK modules or sort of CCK contrib stuff has kind of split off into their own projects, basically so that people can kind of manage the bug fixes sort of externally. And then eventually I think that they'll get wrapped back into CCK. But I know that Daryl O'Pry has the image field module is images, image uploading stuff for CCK is now its own project. I also saw that the date module is now has its own project as well, yeah. Which is cool because both of those are kind of more difficult to develop than you would think. You start into it thinking, oh, this is going to be quick and easy, and then not. So those are their own things. What else? What other new stuff we have? This is a content moderator. You were testing that out, Matt. Are we going to use that on the MTV site for moderation?
Yeah, we might. I haven't actually played around with it too much yet. Well, just ran through the code quickly.
Let's just encourage other people to test it out. And
tell us how it works at 877. No, I
can't. Yeah, there you go. I mean, also, like, if people want us to talk about their modules that they've put out and stuff like that, definitely let us know. I mean, or other people have other news and stuff, like, let us know and we'll,
Yeah, $500 a minute.
We'll try and...
No, I'm kidding.
It's free. It's a free...
It is free. We enjoy doing it. We enjoy learning about other modules.
877 Lollabot. And also the organic groups modules. Organic groups had started to sort of become this big pile of modules. And my understanding is that Moshe just kind of pushed them all out of the nest and onto their own. Is that true? Can you confirm that, Angie?
Yeah. It was getting to the point where the issue queue in OG was like... 90%, hey, this weird contrib module doesn't work. And people were just kind of, you know how you do, you get a new module, you're like, oh, let me click every single one and see what it does, you know. So,
right.
It was causing some problems, so we decided to split it off. So OG is now its own module, separate, and then all of the various contrib modules like block visibility and, you know, OG forum, blah, 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 those are all separate modules now that you have to actually... install yourself if you need them, because 90% of the time you didn't need all of the stuff that was in there. And so far it seems to be working better. And that way the issue trackers are more, it's easier to track down issues for individual pieces. And it's just working a lot better. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, so finally we get to what we were going to talk about in the podcast today. We've been finding, right, that there's some like essential modules that, you know, are good to have. I mean, there are so many. How many modules are there in the contrib directory now? It's like 300, 400 modules or something like that. So, people are always asking me like, oh, what modules do you guys use on your sites and what are the good things and stuff like that? And so we thought it might be good to just sort of go through and list some and kind of talk quickly about what they do and why they're good and stuff like that. So I don't know. Who wants to start?
Go for it, Ted.
All right.
I nominate Ted.
So, let's see. Oh, wow, there's so many.
What do you like, Ted? What turns you on with modules?
Well, I'll start with some lesser-known ones, I guess. Probably my favorite one is JS Tools. Really like this module. What it is, it's a collection of various JavaScript nifty things. For example, one's the JS calendar, which is kind of like a pop-up calendar, so you can choose dates. I've used this before with CCK to create just little pop-ups, select the dates, inserts it, works really well, easy to use. Najo did an awesome job of integrating that. What else is in there? There's actually something I wrote in there way back in my early Drupal days. I wrote a little JavaScript that basically said, if you changed any element on the page, like if you edited a form or something, and you click the link and you're about to leave, a little notice pops up, hey, you've changed something. Are you sure you want to leave the page? And that's actually included in there as well. There is, what else is there? There's a lot of things in there.
Hey, look at that. I'm listed as a maintainer. I got to keep track of these things.
There's also the tabs, which allows you to create a bunch of different dynamic tabs, which is pretty cool. There is the collapsible box, so all the blocks on a Drupal page just kind of expand. Active menus, which allows your big, gigantic Drupal navigation menu to, you click it and it'll expand so you don't have to keep clicking on every single page.
And that uses Ajax, so you don't need to modify your menus at all, which do with the magic menus, need to open them all. That magic menus is my version of the basically the same thing. It works slightly differently.
It's a really cool module. It'll be interesting to see when jQuery goes in, to see how this module is affected, because a lot of it, some of it will be removed, some of the stuff will be added, and It's really cool. So for all you JavaScript guys, it's looking pretty good. Looking really good. I'm excited.
Cool.
So that's my top module right now.
Yeah, that one's fun. What else you got, Ted? Come on.
What else do I have? I'm a big fan of the Google Analytics module. It's a really, really simple module. If you're not familiar with it, if you go to google.com/analytics, what this is basically website tracking stuff. So it'll see who's visiting your website, where they came from, what kind of pages they're looking at. And the way this module works is it just adds a little snippet of the Google code to the bottom of every page. And it's simple enough to do this at the theme level, but this module allows you, so it'll actually add this on a per-role basis, which is kind of cool. The biggest benefit of this module that I've run into is it's really simple for non-tech people. If they're like, well, what's my website doing? And you just give them access to your Google Analytics, and they're like, oh, I can see from these pretty charts that my website's not doing too good, or maybe it's doing better than I thought. So from an end-user point, I really like it to just give them an easy way to see what their website's doing. Simple module. Another one I like.
Right on. Anybody want to jump in with some more? Come on. Views. That guy likes views, right?
I love views.
Views is awesome.
So, I mean, there's not even really much to say other than that views is just something that people should know about. It's one of those things that you don't know that you need it until you use it and figure it out, and then you go, oh, well, I should use views for this. Sometimes it's easier to do that stuff writing your own custom code, but views.
Yeah, it was recently updated. There's the new views theme generator, which is awesome. So what happens is when you create a view, it'll automatically click the button, and it'll create all the template PHP code. You copy it over, and then you create your view-whatever the name of the view.tpl file.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you can theme the view. Oh, it's really awesome.
That's really so awesome.
Earl did a superb job.
Oh, man. See, CCK should do that, too. I wrote that contemplate module to basically sort of solve that problem of, like, how to output CCK stuff. It would be cool if CCK did that kind of thing. We should take a look.
Just to tell everybody in case they don't know what Views is, it's basically like a query builder is the technical term, but if you ever need a list of stuff, you need Views, because you can say, get a list of the 10 most recent nodes that are stories and pages that were posted in within the last week. You know, like, basically, right. you can develop any kind of list, a table or a list or of that you want of any kind of node in Drupal, and you can filter it based on all kinds of cool things. Like,
right.
Because the name Views, a lot of people are like, oh,
right, exactly. So. Yeah. Yeah, because people lots of times expect the taxonomy module to do a lot of this stuff, but then when they realize, like, oh, I actually don't want it in reverse chronological order, or I want it, or I want to just see a list of users' nodes of this type. So I want to just see the pages or the form entries that this user wrote. You can use Views module for that. It's handy. Handy dandy. I really like excerpt module. It's one of those, that's one of those, like, ought to be in core kind of modules. Just sort of depending on how you think that your content manager ought to work. Like, for instance, if you wanted your teaser to not necessarily be the first few lines of the entry, but maybe just a summary or an abstract of it, you can use the excerpt module, and it stores the teaser. Drupal calls it the teaser. It stores a separate teaser for the module or for the node. So, your RSS feeds, for instance, if they were outputting the teaser, could just be a little summary of the item, and then the link to it would be the full item and not necessarily just the first couple lines. So that's a good one, real handy and, one of those ought to be in core kind of things. But again, it's sort of how people think of these things. Anybody just jump on in. Come on. You know what we need? I think we all need to go, you know, get a cup of coffee.
I agree.
This is what I would call sort of a lackluster podcast.
I'm sorry.
I frankly expected better from you people.
We're probably going on, what, an hour now?
45
minutes?
It's a long podcast, and you know, it's because of these long, empty pauses.
All right,
which
I'll
should
jump
be edited
in,
out.
Event module? You guys like event module? Is that good or bad?
No, hate it.
You hate it?
Yeah, actually, I do.
You like it or you hate it?
I hate it. So what I do now is I use CCK. I define a new type called event. I give it a title, like a start time, sometimes an end time.
But I found the date, the CCK date field right now, or at least it was up until maybe 3 weeks ago, a month ago.
The date field.
It was horrible.
Right.
Because you couldn't actually do any sorting with it or anything. It was like ISO storage, and you couldn't like.
But there is part of the event module. There is the event views hooks. So I'll enable that part, but not the event module.
What?
And I'll use CCK to define the event type. I use views to create my calendar. Oh, right now just a list. And I use the event views hooks to make sure that list is updated and kept track of. And it works really well, super simple.
Wow.
I like it.
That's craziness.
I was just joking about hating event module. That's awesome.
I walked into that trap. And then I use a little bit of JS Tools, JS Calendar to spice it up. And
they get 350 for 45 minutes. And
it's,
voila.
I mean, it's not the perfect solution, but it does work pretty well, and it's getting better all the time.
What else we have? What do we got? Login Toboggan. I'm going to promote my own damn modules that I wrote. Login Toboggan, really cool for customizing the login, allowing people to log in using their email address, also customizing the registration a little bit, doing things like having two email address fields, because if they get their email address field wrong and it doesn't send them the email, then they have lost their username because they can't log in into that username because it already exists. So you want to be sure that they have the right email address. So you can have the option of putting two. Some of this stuff was sort of like Login Toboggan was sort of a testing ground for it and really should get written into core. So that's something that maybe will happen at some point. Other things it can do, you can log in people immediately without sending them registration emails and some sort of risky behavior like that. What are my other modules that I was going to – Cipher module is very cool. Kind of get some woohoo on your site quick. Wait module, handy waiting things, although there's probably better ways to handle that than wait module. Doesn't work everywhere, but for some sites it works when it works. All right, I'm done. Oh, bio module, also good. People seem to like that. Easy, good bios, one-to-one user node thing. Although I've been actually leaning more towards using the user nodes module to do that kind of stuff, and doing some work on user nodes module to make that do that kind of thing, sort of like bio module.
Did we talk about devel module yet?
No. Well, not in this podcast. We talked about it in a different podcast, but devel module, essential for developing a site, essential for theming. To be able to see a node object, all of the things that are in a node object, essential for testing, all kinds of stuff. Really,
yeah, optimization, performance.
Oh, yeah. Devel module, cool stuff. Yes, you have to use devel module. Again, one that kind of should be in core, but it's also, you know, you got to turn off the devel module once you launch the site because it's kind of does some stuff that questionable security stuff.
Yeah, just a couple things that I like about devel module is that it allows me to sort of benchmark in real time, so I can see the queries that have been run on a page and see if one query is run 300 times and it's the same query over and over again, that means I've got issues with the site, and there's something there that needs to be looked into, like a for loop that's gone crazy. Another thing that's really cool about Devel module is that you can choose which roles see the debug statements in real time. So your general authenticated users can use the site and not see anything going on, but the people that are in your admin role can view and monitor all of the debug messages that are being outputted from Devel module, so that if there's a sort of a real-time crisis, you can just jump right into the live site and work together as a team and not have the rest of your user base know what's going on.
Yep.
It's cool
stuff. Oh, I thought of another horn tooting module, comment mail. I really like. We're using that on the Lullabot site. It's great. Emails you comments as people post them. If you have your comments set to be moderated so they don't go on the site right away, it's nice to get an email saying, hey, someone posted a comment that you ought to moderate. Good to do. And then other things are, we talked about spam and sort of the different modules that can kind of handle comment spamming stuff and other things like that. There's the spam module, this module that does CAPTCHA, which is one of those things that you don't know what it is until someone explains what it is, which is the picture of a word and you have to type that word that's all twisted into a field. CAPTCHA stands for something. What's it stand for? Anybody? CAPTCHA. It's something like computer automated.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Somebody go to Wikipedia. And,
yeah, that's right.
There's also a module called Troll Module. What's that one do? It like looks for weird behavior that people are doing, like by IP, keeps track of IP addresses and what they're doing. And if they're like trying to submit a lot of forms or something, it just basically bans them from the site immediately or something. I'm guessing. Is that true? Anyone?
I've not used it.
Troll, someone, yes, please, someone, correct us if we're wrong here. And Akismet, which is another module. Angie, you were talking about that one, right?
Yeah, I've seen it mentioned on a few blogs lately. What it apparently does is when you turn on anonymous comments, it lets spam bots go ahead and fill their boots spamming your site and just kind of deletes them all instantly. But the spammer thinks that they're able to spam your site, so they'll basically waste CPU cycles spamming your site when nothing ends up happening to it. So it's kind of a stick it to the man kind of.
I guess, but it's kind of also wasting your computer
it
cycles
is, but,
on your site.
You know, if you
Stick it to the man.
If you want to stick it,
stick
to the
it man.
To the spam. Stick it to the spam.
Yeah. Did we mention URL filter? I don't think we. That's another ought to be in core module. Although right now the regex for it is a little funky.
Yeah, it seems to only parse the last link in the
list
of links.
Yeah, it's something, if it is a list of links, I don't know. But yeah, URL filter, which basically, right, you type in a URL, and it'll convert it to a link, which is sort of how people who aren't, HTML savvy sort of expect the computer to the server to just know and that you could click on it, and this does that behavior, which is good stuff usually, although potentially, and again, the reason that it might not be in core is, for instance, if people were to be able to do that with comments, then they could do what do they call that, Google spamming kind of thing that Google does its search rating based on sort of the number of sites that are linking to a given site, is sort of one of the factors that it considers. And so a lot of comment spam is people basically sending links to their site or to the site that they have been hired to spam for, and thus increasing Google's rating of that site. So that's what comment spam's all about, usually.
How about Path Auto? Did we talk about that one?
No, that's a great one. Especially what with the new Path system that's a lot more efficient in 4.7. Path Auto, right? You can set a whole bunch of different criteria for the different things. So, for instance, you can change user pages from being /user/user ID, you know, user123, to being user/username. So it would be user/jjeff or Webchick or whatever. And you can do that for taxonomy term pages. You can do that for nodes. You can do that for user pages. And you can set sort of the series of criteria. And it's really handy. Right now in core, you can create your paths on the fly on your pages. You can type it in. But it's nice to just sort of have it happen automatically. And we're using that now on the Lullabot site. So when we write an article or something like that, it automatically knows that it's in the article section and it goes into articles / name of article. I should also mention, we haven't mentioned this yet. We switched over. In the past on the podcast, we've been using, story module, and upload module and just attaching, the podcast, MP3 file to a story and putting that into the, tagging it with the taxonomy term for our podcast so that it goes into the RSS feed for that, and thus we have a podcast. But we switched over recently, and we're using the audio module now, which is really great. And that's another one, like if anyone's doing any kind of audio stuff, particularly podcasting, definitely worth checking out. Handy, good, great module by Colin Brumell and some of the other people at Bright. Made that module.
What was the motivation to switch?
Well, just the workflow was such a pain, that I had to upload and then I had to type in a whole bunch of HTML to link it. And the upload, the audio module just handled a whole bunch of that, kind of automatically. You know, basically I upload the, I do, you know, name the podcast and categorize it and all that stuff in iTunes when I'm converting it into an MP3 file. And then I upload it and automatically, audio module knows the name of the podcast. It automatically gets the size and the format and all kinds of stuff that I wasn't even putting in before. And so it's helpful for people to know the size of the podcast. If, say, for instance, it's an hour long, like this podcast will be, they can know that before they download it and make the decision whether they want to spend the next hour of their lifetime listening to us talk about Drupal.
Cool.
yeah, so the audio module is kind of cool. I don't know if it's sort of a generic module that like everybody ought to use, but it's definitely one that's good to know about. So. And, if people have other modules that they consider to be their essential modules, send us an email, podcast@lullabot.com, or you can go to lullabot.com and fill out the, contact form there. And, we'll talk about it. Cause I'm sure other people have their own workflows set up and their own systems and stuff that they like. And, we're always interested to hear about that, so we can talk about them. So, on that note, let's wrap this up and go watch some World Cup.
Yesterday
sounds like a plan.
Was that yesterday? No, it's no, today. But there's more World Cup today. Today's
well,
Sunday.
By the time people are in here,
so oh yeah. Well, right. Oh, do we have to pretend this is live?
right.
Sorry.
France wins by one.
Okay, cool. Well, great.
See what
so, anyways, there it is. We're going to have a lot more stuff to talk about soon. We're going to do some more interviews with some people, and we'll drink more coffee before we do the podcast next time.
Certainly.
Lovely! All right, well, bye, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye-bye.